All right, we're going to get started. Just a few announcements, but I want this to be recorded. First of all, first announcement is I love you. You're awesome. I appreciate you. I appreciate this house. I appreciate those that are listening tonight, those that are part of this ministry. It's growing daily, and we're so grateful for what he's doing and making happen here at Ignited Church. And I just love everybody. A few announcements. Let's see. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go with the radio broadcast real quick. Hopefully this will come across on the recording so everybody can hear it. But we did our promo for WLHR, Lake Hartwell Radio, right down the road from here. And we've made the contract. And so for the next 52 weeks, we're going to be preaching the gospel up and down all these places. Amen. So while they're looking for babes, booze, and bullets or whatever, they're going to come across some preaching of the Holy Ghost from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. And Friday and Saturday, it'll be split between the 10 promos that they'll put it out there. So it's going to be a lot of advertisement going on. And I believe we're going to get some more favor from WLHR. So this is the promo that we did. And let's see what it sounds like real quick. Make sure the volume's up when you do it, and we'll go from there.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Benjamin Faircloth of Ignited Church in Livonia, and I want to invite you and your family to listen to our Ignited Life Now radio broadcast every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. We're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling the truth in these last days. For more ministry information, go to our website at ignitedchurchlife.com. I look forward to seeing you right here on Lake Hartwell Radio.
So got a little bit of country twang in there, amen. And we didn't want to go too far to the rock and roll side, but yeah. So like our YouTube does. But anyways, that's the promo. So that'll be going on all through the year. And so I'm very excited about this media platform and opportunity the Lord's given us to get into this community. And we have a lot of exciting plans in the near future that I'm going to announce to you. Amen. And so I appreciate your prayers. Please pray for us. And it'll be a delayed Sunday. So they'll have like 1 week and then they catch up and they catch up. So I might even do some specials where I do a broadcast from a Wednesday night service, or I might do something on the side. I might do some interviews, just all kinds of stuff. We'll see what happens with it, but we're excited about it. All right. Okay. Well, I think that was it on announcements. Everything's, was that it on that? There's silence in the church. Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, the other thing I'm going to hold off on. What's that? That's right. So we got to be louder than the devil. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. We bless this opportunity to be on this secular radio station, Father. If they want to be religious on Sunday, no problem. We'll be righteous on Sunday. We'll preach the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles following. We thank you for the opportunity. Father, hide me now behind the shadow of the cross in order that Jesus would get all the praise and the honor and the glory. And we thank you for it in his mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. Yeah, I got so much I want to share, but I'm going to pull back from putting my finger on that trigger and just hold off. All right, so last time we got together, somebody says, man, I hate that. Well, that brings you back. I'll let you know Sunday, amen. Yeah, I gotta make you want to come back. What's that? Yeah, they do that on the programs. Come back next week and you'll see. Anyways, let me get busy here. I got work to do. Last time we got together, let me give you a few of the things that we spoke on. Again, I love you and appreciate you. Glad you're here. To be fully satisfied in your relationship with the Father, you must be fully committed to your relationship with the Father. It's like with any relationship. You know, if you're the only one pouring into it and the other person's not helping out, I mean, that doesn't make for a good relationship. That's pretty imbalanced. And so it's the truth. To be fully satisfied in your relationship with the Father, you must be fully committed in your relationship with the Father. Consecration is the fact, evidence, and the seal that proves our commitment and dedication. You know, if you're not walking in a consecrated, a sanctified type of life, then there's not much evidence, you know, that that you have a deep relationship with God. Just because you go to church, you have a bumper sticker or whatever, a nice T-shirt that talks about God, you know, it doesn't prove to people the fact that you are living that type of lifestyle. But when you're consecrated to Him, when you're walking in the prayer of consecration and transparency, you know, people can begin to see and say, man, there's something different about you. Amen. I remember the story about Smith Wigglesworth. He was sitting at a bus stop one time, and a gentleman sat down next to him, and just a few moments went by, and the man just stood up and said, man, you convict me. Smith Wigglesworth, he never said a thing. He didn't have a magazine. He didn't have a Bible. Didn't have no Christian literature. He was just so full of the anointing of God that the sinner got near him and got convicted. That's powerful, isn't it? This is not an act of perfection or works, but His work of completion within us. We got to get that understanding. It's His work within us. He's completing us. Just like the song we sang just now, you know, to be conformed into His image. That's what's happening. Every time you come to the house of God, every time that you are in His presence through reading the Bible or worshiping, you're being conformed into His image. Amen. And all the old man begins to fall away. In other words, I can't perfect or apprehend this relationship without grace, without the grace of God, without the anointing of God. Consecration is my step or my leap. Remember I said step or leap because some people like to step into the relationship with God. Some of us like to leap in head first and just go, woo! I don't know about you, you know, if I'm going to get on a slide, I'm not going to, you know, stop and go. I'm going to slide and go woohoo all the way down or what have you. So, in other words, I can't perfect this. I can't apprehend this relationship without Him, without His power. So it's my step or my leap into His grace. I'm diving into His grace. I'm stepping into His grace. And He does the work. He does the work. And that's what we must understand, because so many times in Christianity, we get involved in church calisthenics. You know, where if I do this the right way, if I lift the right hand, if I lift the left hand, if I bow the right way, if I say the right way, you know, do the right thing, then God's going to approve of me. No, that's not how this works. Consecration is going past that. Consecration recognizes and realizes I'm already saved. I know who I am in Christ. I just want to go deeper. Amen. And so Psalms 51, verse 13, all those, I just don't have time to go over that because I have so much to go over tonight. But go back and review that. Or go get the CD, and you know, those listening right now, you can download it. Everything on our website is free, so it'll be a blessing to you. Okay, so for tonight on the prayer of consecration and transparency, let me give you these statements, and they're going to be kind of lengthy because it was just a lot of information I got today. The act of consecration is simply progressional discipleship. Progressional. You're moving in progression, discipleship, and the movement of one's heart towards God. The act of consecration, the prayer of consecration. Remember, the prayer, when I say the prayer of consecration, transparency, I'm really talking about the lifestyle of it. Because prayer should always be the breath of your heart. It should always be the beat of your heart. It should always be the breath of your mouth. It should always be your desire. So the act of consecration is simply progressional discipleship and the movement of one's heart towards God. I just want to be discipled. I want to continue my process of becoming conformed to His image. I don't want to be who I am right now. I don't want to be 5 years from now the same guy I am today. I want to be further in Christ. I want my life to be radically different than it is now. So that's what consecration does. Watch this. It is not a work of the flesh for approval. It's not a work of the flesh for approval. When I am consecrating my life, when I am coming closer to God, when I'm living this lifestyle, when I'm praying these prayers, I'm not doing it for approval. I'm already approved. I've been sealed and approved, so have you, through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you name the name of Christ, you've been forgiven of your sins, you've been approved. This has nothing to do with salvation in general. This happens to do with the evidence of salvation. This happens to do with the proof of salvation. This happens to be what a Christian should be doing besides getting saved and sitting on a chair. Because there's so many that do that. They just sit on a chair. But it is not a work of the flesh for approval, but a work of the inner man desiring to please his creator. Watch that again. It is not a work of the flesh for approval, but a work of the inner man desiring to please his creator. So in other words, I go from the basics of being saved. I know I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. But now I have such an inner desire in my inner man to please my creator that I don't want to walk in sin anymore. I don't want to look at sin anymore. I don't want to listen to filth. I don't want to be around the dirt of the world. Not saying people, I can't help. I got to be a part of the world. I still got to walk in the mud puddles, but I don't have to lay in them. I don't have to sit there and puddle around and paddle around with everybody else in the puddles of life. You know, I can help pull them out and I can be around it. I can get dirt on me, but I don't want to be dirty. And so consecration says this, that when I do get dirty, God cleanse me. God, I just want to find that place. See, if we could understand this as Christians in the natural, I hope you shower at least once a week. I hope you clean up just once in a while. In the natural, we do that. Why? Because we're dirty. So why don't we do that continuously in the spirit? Why don't we do that continuously with our relationship? And Sunday and Wednesday is not enough of a bath time. I'm sorry, folks. I happen to bathe several times a day. And if I could afford the pump water and the well water and all that, you know, the pump electricity, I'd probably bathe six times a day. But you get my point. The point is this, that so many times we live a life where we're around all the dirt and we never go before the Father to receive cleansing from him and never receive a refreshing from him. We wait for the preacher on Sunday and on Wednesday, but that ain't enough. Let me find somewhere somebody agrees with me. That's not enough because I can only take you so far. You have to walk this consecrated life. So watch this. It's not a work of the flesh for approval, but a work of the inner man desiring to please his creator. I want to be more like Jesus. And so I consecrate myself. How? Through faith, favor, which gives me access. Now watch this. We must always remember that the depth of our access to the Father or in the Father, however you want to write in or to, because you already have access to the Father. When I say in the Father, I'm talking about deepness into God. We must always remember that the depth of our access in or to the Father is initiated by his deep love for us. We must always remember that the depth of our access in or to the Father is initiated by his deep love for us. See, he does it. He starts it out. He woos you. He draws you, like his presence tonight draws you to just worship. We could have just sat here and worshiped tonight. We could have just spent the next 30, 45 minutes to an hour just worshiping God because he drew us into his presence. That's why he comes down so we'll go up. Let me try that again. That's why his presence comes down so that we'll go up. Up into what? Up into his presence. Deeper into the revelation of who he is. Deeper into intimacy with him. But it's not finished. Watch this. Consecration accepts this fact and moves into our position of inheritance. We must always remember that the depth of our access in or to the Father is initiated by his deep love for us. Consecration accepts this fact, and moves into our position of inheritance. So consecration says this is an order of maturity. It says this. It says, God, I understand your deep love is initiating this relationship. Here's my response. Here's my acceptance of that invitation and into the promises of the inheritance. Here I come. I'm coming the best way I know how. This isn't a formula. This isn't a magical wand where the preacher pops you in the head with this wand, lays hands on you, anoints with oil, and all that, you know, craziness that we've made into charismatic Pentecostal churches. This is a relationship with God that is private, that is special, that is second to none. Why? Because it's yours and his relationship. But he initiates it. So I want you to see that. It is not an act of works, though you do work at this. It's not for acceptance. It's because of pleasure. You want to please your Father. Okay? Everybody see that? So one more time. You must always remember that the depth of our access in and to the Father is initiated by his deep love for us. Consecration accepts the fact and moves into our position of inheritance. And so, you know, there's a lot of stubborn Christians that just don't, you know, you'll see them in worship. They don't want to move into worship. They don't want to move into the things of God. They just kick their heels and they say, nope, I'm right here. That's all I want to do. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You say, come on, you go deeper into God. Nope, this is it. I'm good right here. This is my line. This is my comfort zone. Well, that's fine. You can do that. But there's an invitation for you to go further if you want to. So don't get mad at me and don't get mad at somebody next to you if they're bawling and squalling and loving God and God's blessing them real good. Y'all just looking at me. I have a calf staring at a new gate. You can't, and we do that, don't we? Sometimes we go, what's their problem? You know, or whatever. And they're getting blessed really good. You don't understand the whole thing, man. They're just falling in love with God and they took the invitation. See, discipleship is an invitation. Salvation is free. It's a gift. You can receive it and you can live a nominal life. God prefers you to be on fire. God prefers you to go deeper. But the invitation comes to you to go deeper and to become a disciple and to go from being a disciple and a servant to a son or a daughter. And I've taught on that before, and I don't have time to go through the levels of relationship, but I want to be a son of God. I want to hear him say these things to me and hear, well done, that good and faithful servant, and so on and so forth. Okay, so now let's go to the Word, and let's back everything up. Let's put it together here with what the Holy Spirit said. Go to Psalms 51 again, the prayer of consecration and transparency, using David in his just an amazing prayer, an amazing time that we find here in Psalms 51. I hope you never look at Psalms 51 ever again the same. I hope it really changes you when you look at what happened with David. Look at verse 16. So David's already crying out. You know, he's saying, God, I understand as you restore me, I'm going to teach the sinners, the transgressors, the way, which is you. I'm going to lead them into that traveled path. Remember that? Goes into John talking about the highway that Jesus has already gone there. And so David, man, was really pressing in. And look at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it thou. I would give it. Thou desirest not burnt offering. Let me read it again. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Now check this out. David knew something. He was really, really into something that very few Old Testament saints, patriarchs, characters of the Bible knew about. And I would almost say there was really none, but I'll just say there was a few that might have got a glimpse of what David was looking at. Because watch what he says again. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Now, in that time, there were sacrifices. In that hour, there were sacrifices for sin. There were sacrifices for atonement, for cleansing, and for these different things. But David said, you don't desire this. The reason why David said that is because there was no sacrifice for murder and adultery. There was no sacrifice. There was no legal atonement for these particular sins that he committed. In fact, David, watch this, David was supposed to, by law, be killed. There was no legal atonement. You can go back. I'll give you some verses. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. Exodus 20, verse 13. And Exodus 21, verse 12. For murder. Go back and read those real quick. In fact, let's go to Leviticus real quick. We'll do that together. Hold your spot there. And let's just look at the Word together. Leviticus chapter 24. Let me know when you're there. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. And he that killeth any man shall be surely put to death. That sounds pretty plain, don't it? He that shall kill a man shall surely be put to death. Okay, so go back to Psalms chapter 51. So here's David. He's the king, all powerful. No one's above him in the natural. But David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of God, even though he had sinned and he did a horrible crime. He said, you don't desire sacrifice because there was no sacrifice to give. And David was fully aware of this. When David began his prayer of consecration, when he began his prayer of repentance, when he began to seek the face of God, he knew exactly what was taking place between him and God in this dialogue. He knew there was no remedy that he could do naturally or religiously. He knew it. David knew something. David had a key. David had an understanding that, again, I believe very few, if any, Old Testament characters fully understood. So he was supposed to die. He was literally supposed to die for his sin. The prophet had caught him. The prophet, anointed by the Holy Ghost, caught David. He was exposed. Now here he is. David understands that there's no one higher than him in the natural. There's no one equal with him in the natural. There is no one that could execute this judgment on him. Nobody. But he understood that God was his judge. This is what verse 16 is talking about. He's saying, I understand that you are my judge. I understand that there's no legal atonement. See, this is what consecration does. Consecration says this: God, I understand that there's no way that I could ever succeed in life. There's no way that I could ever go forward in my life. There's no way that I could ever stumble and fall and make it back again without you and your amazing grace. You as my judge, who was already satisfied with the blood of Jesus, all I have to do is continuously remind you and remind myself how good you are and what you've done for me. You see, this is what David was getting to, all right? Adultery, Deuteronomy 22:22, Exodus 20, verse 14. It was another crime, if you will, another breaking of the law that there was no legal atonement in all the earth. You could not be forgiven of this. See, people don't understand how serious of moment this is with David. David, as powerful as he was headed to death by law, by God's law. And what an example David would have been to the nations of the world. What an example David would have been to Israel to have sinned in such a high position and then God deal with him and cast him down. But David came from verse 1 and he said, God, you got the right to do that, but I'm just telling you right now, I am super, super sorry for what I've done. I mean, I'm asking you to completely cleanse me. And we've already gone through that. I feel like preaching the whole thing over again because it's so, so powerful. But David in this last couple of verses really shows you how far he went with God. Okay? So here's what happened. There was no law. Watch this again. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. David is saying this. As king, I'd have gave you every single cattle I had. I would have slaughtered every single pigeon. I would have killed every single lamb. I would have sacrificed every ram I had. There have been blood from one side of Jerusalem to the other to say, I'm sorry, but that ain't what you're wanting. Because that is not an easy way out or an answer at this particular moment. I broke the law. Now watch this. Then he says, thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Again, he goes into the whole atonement thing. He said, there's no way I can atone for this. This is what David did. And I've taught this in ISM and in this church many times. David reached into a dispensation that he had no right and access to except through faith. David reached into the dispensation of grace. He reached into the time frame of grace when grace and mercy was not being meted out. It was not being offered at this particular time because Jesus had not yet shed his blood. But David knew something about God. David's heart was right with God, even though his flesh was corrupt, and even he made a tremendous mistake, worthy of death and eternal death. But he tapped into God's love. He tapped into God's grace, and he pulled it in to his time frame, and God accepted it. That is super, super powerful. And what that tells me is this, that in my time, in your time of consecration, we can reach into time frames that are not yet for us. We can reach into time frames of the glory of God. We can reach into things beyond our years and pull them to our nows. We can reach into the heart of God by just falling in love and consecrating our lives to him and pull anointings that are yet reserved for last day churches. I'm telling you, you can do that. You can do that. So how do you do it? Just what David did. He consecrated himself to God. He got so real with God. He reached into his heart and he pulled grace out of God's heart. Man, that's powerful. I just want to shout, because there's things I want to pull out of the heart of God for Ignited Church. There's some things I want to pull out of the heart of God for this community, for the world, for the nations. This is what I want to do. I want to reach into the dispensation of God, of his glory, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, God, pour it out here. God, I don't want to wait to 2019 or 2020 or whenever it is. God, I don't want to wait for the great harvest. I want to reach in now and pull that out of you. You don't get this kind of anointing by sitting around being a nominal Christian. You don't get it by just, you know, eating bonbons and watching sitcoms. You do it by seeking the face of God and saying, God, I beseech you, I desire you in this hour, Father God. Cleanse me with hyssop. Cleanse me, oh God. And get rid of this old man that's holding me back. You see, that's what David did. You got to follow this whole teaching. David was consecrating his life to God, and he said, God, I understand you don't want none of the blood of the bulls. You don't want to see priests from blood to the head to the toe, because that's not going to work and that's not going to fix me. Only your grace will. Man, David, do you understand how far away David was from the cross, but yeah, how close he saw it through revelation? That is why he is King David. That is why it will be the throne of David upon which Jesus sits upon, because this is a type and shadow. This is a revelation for us to see of how we can consecrate our lives. So watch this. Consecration will allow you to tap into dimensions no one else can. I'm about to run around this Pentecostal church. You see, we don't understand why some men and women of God can see miracles and tremendous visions and hear from God and see great and mighty things of the spirit realm and all those different attributes of signs and wonders and miracles. And we castigate them because maybe they're flamboyant. We castigate them because maybe we don't understand them. But the reality is this, as you consecrate your life, as you go deeper into the things of God, the manifestation of what you're pressing into begins to come forward and come to fruition in your life. And people begin to see things and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit begin to happen, some things that you can't explain. When I teach on God's generals and ISM, and I go back to the great healing revivalists of A.A. Allen and Jack Coe and Catherine Kuhlman and Mary Woodworth Eder and so many other great names, you know, yes, they had asterisks by their name. Yes, they failed in different ways in their flesh, but they pressed in to God and they tapped into dispensations that weren't ready for them, that weren't ready for their hour, and God gave them the desires of their heart. And we saw miracles and miracles. The healing revivals, you need to do a study of the 1940s and 50s healing revivals and to see how these men and women thundered across the land while cancer and diseases and maladies and malfunction and even death were destroyed by the power of the preaching of the gospel in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an amazing hour. You need to study it. And the church is so far lethargic, so far lukewarm away from what they had in that hour. I'm going to tell you, this is your key right here. Getting into the presence of God. Again, it's not Christian calisthenics for acceptance. It is just simply following after your Creator and having a passion to walk and live like Jesus did. David tapped into grace when it wasn't available. Consecration will allow you to tap into the dimensions no one else can. Like I said, there are things that you can feel, see, hear, experience that no one else can because you're tapping into that dimension. You're tapping into his presence. And you don't have to be fivefold. Somebody called to preach holding a microphone in one hand and a Bible in the other. You can just love God and cook dinner and be a housewife or work a job or whatever. Be retired and just press into God. And God will speak to you in a very powerful way. Isn't that awesome? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It talks about Paul. You know, Paul said he was caught up, man. And he said he saw things that were unlawful to speak. Well, not unlawful as in legal. They were just too awesome. There was no way to describe it. Even John the Revelator on the island of Patmos had such a hard time explaining the book of Revelation that he would just say, man, it was, you know, this big mountain with fire and dragons and three heads and 10 horns. And, you know, all these descriptions, he didn't know how to explain it. Big giant locusts, and he was describing, you know, possibly military aircraft and armament and weaponry of our hour. That's all he could do. How do you explain these things? He partook of the word of God that was sweetened and made his belly sick. Remember, it happened to Daniel. So watch this now. Paul said he went into that dimension to where there were things he couldn't even explain. It wasn't that he couldn't come back and tell us. What does he say? How do you describe the glory of God? You know, when you get knocked out by the power of God, and God touches you, man, and you're just in his glory, how do you explain it? You know, I've laid hands on people and they get healed, and I say, what did you feel? I felt fire. I felt warm. Where the problem was, and the problem's gone. I mean, what do you do with that? And so here it is, going into that dimension. This is the whole reason why God wanted me to teach on consecration, the prayer of consecration, because there's a dimension we have to go into. There's a place in God we've yet to go to, and we need to. Paul did it. 1 Timothy 1:8, you want to write that down? Talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's just some things that are unspeakable. There's some dimensions in God that how do you explain? And I've had some experiences with God, I know you have, that I really can't explain. I've tried, but, you know, people look at you like, uh-huh, okay, have you taken your medication? It's 10 till. You know, or here comes the paddy wagon. Hey, man, you know, it happened. All I know is I was there, and a man with an experience is never at the mercy with a man with an argument. So I felt it, and I can tell you what happened to me. Amen. Okay, so recapping verse 16 so we can go on. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. I understand, God, I got it. You don't have any remedy right here on earth according to the law, according to where we are at this time frame. This is David thinking. This is what he's saying. I understand that. Now watch verse 17. He got it. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Now watch this. David, as far as we know, he didn't have a school of ministry. He wasn't necessarily a priest, even though he had the kingly and priestly anointing. He operated in that level, and you can operate in that level today too, kingly, priestly anointing. But he operated in that, and he had understanding, okay? But he recognized, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. So in other words, he wasn't teaching some spiritual class or some type of class of being a priest. He tapped into that dimension of grace, and he recognized and realized that the sacrifices of God were a broken spirit. But the law said you had to give an atonement for it. The law said you need to cover it with the blood of bulls. The law said you need two pigeons or what have you. The law said blood must cover it. But grace is different. And he understood that. Watch it. The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit. The word broken is shabar. S-H-A-B-A-R. S-H-A-B-A-R. And that's 7665 if you're going to study it and pull this thing apart. Shabar. It is 7665. Now watch this. Shabar means to break in pieces. It means to be maimed. Listen to these words. It means to be crippled. It means splinters. And this is my favorite definition. It means to be wrecked. I like that. Wrecked. You ever been wrecked in God? Come out of a service, you're like, hey, praise God, man. That was awesome. Tears coming down. You know, some of you ladies, you got mascara. You look like the old Kiss band or something. You know, just kind of like scary or Rocky. I don't know, something going on over there. You know, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about when you all cry your mascara? I'm so upset. I thought blush belonged on the, anyways, got it under your chin. And guys, we just snot everywhere. We're just snotty, snotty men. That's why you don't see me cry, because when you do, it's like everybody's got to go. Everybody better leave, because it's going to be nasty over here. But look what David said. Watch it again. He said the sacrifices of God, not the bulls, not the ram, not the lamb. He said the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. And this is during the law, y'all. This is Psalms. This is during the law. This is prior to that, as we go back and see who during the time frame of David. This is New Testament. This isn't New Covenant. But he said, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. Listen to the words again. To be broken in pieces, maimed, crippled, splinters, and to be wrecked. Now watch this. David said, I understand you want me to be completely crushed for what I did. Now take that in comparison to what I've said this many times, as you see people come to the altar. And again, I'm not judging their heart, but you know, a lot of times when, you know, somebody says they're sorry to God and they're standing straight up and they got their back straight and their nose up in the air, I kind of, you know, I've got a little problem with that. I think bending the knee and bowing the head and, you know, showing a contrite heart would be a good thing. But you know what I mean? The evidence really is what they are when they leave. So, but the reality is this. He said, Lord, I understand you want me down to the bare minimum. You want me down to the place where I'm wrecked, and I realize I'm wrecked, and I acknowledge I'm wrecked. Now, you say, what does that have to do with living a life of consecration? It is not walking in that wreckedness, being wrecked, if you will, not a good word in English, but walking in that brokenness. It's walking in the reality that I'm broken without you. Let me say that one more time. It's walking with the mentality and the reality that, God, I am broken, I'm wrecked without you, and I admit it every day. I need you. God, I can't do this. I can't live. I can't walk. I can't breathe. I can't do anything. I'm a wreck. That's not a handicap. That's not acting like a worm. You know, some Christians get so ridiculously, pridefully humble. And that's not what this is. This is walking upright before God, knowing who you are in Christ, putting your back like a T-rail, walking into your day, but recognizing and realizing the only reason I'm standing here today is because of how good you are. And without you, I'll fall apart. If you leave me 1 second, I'm a wreck, I'm a mess, I'm a puddle of water. This ice is melted. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So it's not a mentality of the poor, oh me, God's going to kill me. And, you know, if I do the wrong thing, I'm just dead. No, no, no. That's not what David is talking about. Watch. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Now, here's the word for contrite. Watch this. It's dekah, D-A-K-A-H. D-A-K-A-H. 1794. You know what it means? To be crushed to pieces. A contrite heart, to be crushed to pieces. So as you read this and you're watching David, now think about this. David, he didn't get away with murder, so don't misunderstand me, because he later paid for it. Okay, it never left his house. He paid for the crime, but he lived. And God kept his seed, and God kept his lineage from which Jesus came. You understand? Because he reached into grace, and he received that pardon. He received that forgiveness, though he still had penalty for it. We all have to pay for our Ishmaels. Remember that. And sometimes we don't understand it. We get saved and we think our Ishmael should all die. No, we all give birth to our Ishmael. Someday I'll teach on that. And that's just part of the sinful life that you committed, and there's things you have to live with. You can't kill it. How many of y'all got a past? Not everybody point at Cindy, but everybody has a past. I'm just kidding, Cindy. Cindy's like, what? How did they know? Right? Everybody's had a past. And there's certain things you wish you can go back and just kill it and say, I wish it was gone and never, ever happened again. But then someone that you know in your past reminds you, like, hey, how you doing? They call you that one street name. And you're like, oh, shut your mouth. Or whatever. Yeah, you can't kill Ishmael. You gotta let him live. But you can raise your Isaacs, amen, to outdo your Ishmaels. So anyways, here we go. So he said, crush to pieces. These are two very powerful words that David is speaking to the Father. He says, you desire for our heart, for my life, for my inner man, for who I am, to be completely in pieces for what I've done, to be splintered. There's nothing left of me. I'm all fragmented. And only you can put me back together and create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. Isn't that amazing? The Father, watch this, the Father will never, you want to highlight that, underline it, make it bold, he'll never reject a humble heart. Never. Never. But he'll refuse and reject the prideful. That's why when we get to heaven, we're going to see some of the most amazing things when you watch some young child or older grandma. Of course, she ain't going to be older no more, but she's going to have all these crowns on her head stumbling through heaven, and some fancy preacher, he's got a little straw cap on, little straw farmer's hat on, because everything that he did for show. He did it for money. He did it for pride or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The Bible's very specific about rewards and positions in heaven. Amen. Someday I'll teach on that. But the Father will never reject a humble heart, but he will reject a prideful one. So consecration gets you into humility. It takes the pride out of you. Because again, it's like I said, it's walking before the Father saying, God, I need you. I don't like talking about personal experiences, but for me, it's daily. I understand I can do nothing without him. I can't. In him I live and move and have my being. I can't do anything. And people get mad and say, well, you know, God gives you the ability. Blah, blah. Yeah, I understand that. He gives me the ability. But, you know, without him, I'm nothing. And it's keeping that memory of where you came from and keeping that conscience about you of who God is and what he's done and what he'll do for you that keeps you in consecration, keeps you humble, and it keeps you moving into the dimension that other people are not moving into. That's what the remnant's going to do in this last day. It's not because we're goody-two-shoes special whatevers. It's because we're going to press into God. We're going to put away the world. Heard from somebody just recently, talked about, said, hey, man, I don't even have satellite anymore. Man, I cut it off. I don't want that junk in my house. I just want to seek the Father. And I'm like, woohoo, go for it, man. That's cool. And if you do, don't get mad. You know, everybody's at different levels. Do you understand? So, and so the dimensions are right there. Now watch verse 18 and 19. I'm going to get out of here. Do good and thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. David is saying, Lord, build up the protection. Build up the provision. I've came to you. I have admitted who I am. I've admitted what I've done. I have fallen down to your mercy. I've came before the judge of all judges. Now, God, restore me. Build these walls up. I let the walls fall. I let the enemy get over. I let the enemy destroy my integrity and my walk with you. Now build it back up, Father God. Build me to the place I need to be. And then he says, verse 19, Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then thou shalt offer bullocks upon thine altar. David says, now we're going to come back to a place of normality. Now we're going to come back to a place of celebration. Now we're going to come back to the way you want it to be, because I got everything back in order with you. Jerusalem's back in order. The kingship, if you will, is back in order. My worship is back in order. You fixed me. You made me whole, and you put me back on the throne again. My final statements to you tonight is the prayer of consecration is a lifestyle of humility, hunger, thanksgiving, and restoration. It is daily bread for a hungry and thirsty soul. Let me read again. The prayer of consecration is a lifestyle of humility, hunger, and thanksgiving, and restoration. It is daily bread for the hungry and thirsty soul. God, I hunger and I thirst after you, after righteousness. God, I don't do everything right and I don't know everything, but I hunger and I thirst after you. The Bible says what? To those they shall be filled. Once we drink of his living water, we will never, ever thirst again. Heavenly Father, delivered your word today about consecration and transparency. I'm asking, Father, that you just do a work in those that are here tonight and those that have been listening, deep work, that we would reach in to the dispensation, to the time frame, to the hour of the great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. God, I know so much is happening in our earth, and I know we're in the last days, but I also know that there's a great outpouring of your Holy Ghost and a great revival. And I'm asking for that for the remnant, for those that will just seek you. Lord, there's no form. There's no formula. There is no pathway designed by man to do this. It's all found in desire and intimacy that is in the individual's heart. And I pray that Psalms 51 would be a template and just a way, and just a scale, a model, Father, to get us to that place in the depth of your heart. I love you tonight, Jesus. I bless everybody listening, everybody in Ignited Church, and I am so excited about Sunday morning. Bless us as we bless others in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. I love you guys. See you Sunday.